It's been a while, but it's great to say that we are back on the air. And what better way to get back on the air than by talking about a major trade that the New York Yankees have already made. We're going to break down the Andrew Benintendi move and what may be in store for the Yankees on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Of course, you probably forgot who I am. The Yankees are in the midst of having one of their better starts to any season in their franchise history, and I've been silent. Man, I have been struggling, probably more than Joey Gallo at the plate, but regardless, I'm back on the air, and again, we apologize for the long hiatus. Now, I'm a firm believer in, you can't change the past, but what you can change is the future. So we are going to get you back on track with all Yankees news and updates. We're going to talk a little bit about the trade deadline today. I'll give you a little bit more about what's been going on with my life and the Delahanty Media brand so you guys can kind of see where I've been lately and what's been going on. Don't worry, I've been watching like normal. I still wear my pinstripes all the time. I still have my passion for the Yankees. But again, there is a lot going on, and I have some exciting news that I will share with you guys, and I'll save that for the end of the show. If you forgot, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on social media, we're on Instagram. You can find us on all those outlets. And again, find the show on any podcasting platform, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio. The show's there for you. Check it out. Share it with a friend. And let's talk some Yankees baseball. Now, let's not waste any time. Yankees get swept by the Mets in Citi Field. And I don't know about you, but I feel like that was the best thing that could have happened to the New York Yankees. And here's why. Yeah, you don't want to lose to the Mets in Citi Field and lose two games, one of which I feel like they should have won. But I do think that it woke up the front office a little bit. Now, I'm not saying that Brian Cashman picked up the phone 10 minutes after the game ended and said, look, I need Andrew Benintendi, let's make it happen. No, but I do think that that series is a little bit of a wake-up call to show them, yes, you have a good team, but you are not at that level to compete with some of these teams for a World Series title. I'm going to use the Mets as an example. Now, yes, they have some holes of their own, and I expect them to make some moves before the deadline. They need a catcher. McCann's been struggling. He's hurt. They have some injuries. They're not willing to bring up Alvarez, their top prospect, yet. You can make the case they need another DH, somebody to go with Daniel Vogelback, the acquisition they just recently made. But the Mets have something that the Yankees have struggled to get lately, and that's starting pitching. And that's without Jacob deGrom. They'll have Scherzer, Taijuan Walker. You know, you can name the guys. In the playoffs, we all know you need pitching and you need bullpen. And the Yankees' bullpen is banged up. Chapman hasn't been himself. Michael King suffered that terrible injury that will keep him out at least for the rest of this year. You're without Chad Green, who's a focal point of the bullpen. So I do think that this Yankees team needed a little bit of a wake-up call to say, look, you know, we need some reinforcements, especially on the pitching side of things. And then when you look offensively, the biggest gap comes in the outfield with Joey Gallo. And I do really feel bad for this guy. You know, he's a guy that in Texas, you know, they never really made him stress over his play. When he hit home runs, they loved him. If he struck out, they knew that was part of the equation. But unfortunately, his style of play does not shape up well in Yankee Stadium with the Yankee fans. Especially when you're struggling. Those fans could be ruthless, and rightly so. There's a goal in mind. The World Series. High aspirations. High expectations. And for a guy like Gallo, yeah, seems like a good guy. Seems like, you know, he's a hard worker. It hasn't clicked. And when the pressure starts to build, you know, some players tend to fold. Now, he's not the first player to fold under the spotlight of New York. Plenty of guys have done it before. But I do think he needs a change of scenery, and that's where the Yankees' acquisition of Andrew Benintendi comes up so clutch. Because now, you add a guy like Benintendi, who's in the middle of an all-star caliber season. He's a free agent at the end of the year. Made an all-star appearance this year. The guy's hitting 320. He's absolutely crushing right-hand pitching. And one thing about Benintendi, if you notice, if you go through his career splits, he's a guy that has shown a little bit of power throughout his career. Had a 20-homer season with the Red Sox in 2017. He had a couple of seasons where he hit 10-plus homers. This year, he only has 3. But if you notice, the strikeouts are down. The average is up. The on-base percentage is very high. So what he has done is sacrificed the power to get on base more. And that's what this Yankees team needs. They need a guy who's going to come in, play high-quality defense, going to put the ball in play, get on base, hit with runners in scoring position, and you know what? Maybe in Yankee Stadium, the power does come back. Line drive hitters can hit home runs in Yankee Stadium. Ask DJ LeMahieu. You know, it's not an uncommon thing. But I think that it's a good fit for what the Yankees are looking for, especially on the offensive side. There were a couple of things that when I was looking at potential players for the Yankees to acquire that really stood out to me about Benintendi. Let's just sidetrack for a second and go to Juan Soto, the big fish on the market. Soto is like a unicorn. It's like having Willie Mays or Hank Aaron hit the trade market way, way early in their career. Soto's what, 22, 23 years old? Has 2 years left on his deal? The guy's already a Hall of Fame caliber talent if he stays healthy and productive. Now, you're going to need to give up a haul to get him. Obviously, one of the best players in the game is going to demand a lot in return, especially for a Nationals team that looks like they're trying to reset. Now, the Yankees have the prospects to do it. Let's not shy away from that. Are there teams that have better offers and better players to give them? Sure, but if you are willing to deeply dive into that farm system, the Yankees have enough to do it. And let's not act like they don't. They have the means to do it. They have the prospects to do it. It's a matter of if they want to do it. Now, based off recent history, I firsthand thought that, you know, they were going to look at other options. Why? Number one, Aaron Judge is a free agent at the end of the year. Seems like he is their priority. Now, if you ask me, would I rather pay a 23-year-old Juan Soto for 15 years or pay a 31-year-old Judge who's injury-prone for 10, I would probably say Soto. But I think that the Yankees have that feeling that Judge has to be a guy who sticks around for the long term because of the popularity and what he's already done for the organization. Do I have a problem with it? No. However, who wouldn't want Juan Soto? Let's be real. Now, if you're looking at other options, Benintendi's a very nice fit. Defensively, offensively, but the two things that stand out to me the most about him that I think are going to really help him throughout the second half of this year with the Yankees. Number one, he has AL East experience. Played for the Boston Red Sox. We all remember. We all hated him. Guy's a good ball player. Hate him when he was a Red Sox. He gets traded to the Royals, right? Last couple of years, you can like him. He's not on the enemy side anymore. So that's the first thing. He's used to the AL East. He's not afraid of the AL East. He shines under pressure. And he shines in the postseason. The guy has the playoff experience with the Red Sox. You know, he's been there, done that. That's what this Yankees team needs. A guy who is going to step up to the occasion, who has the experience and isn't afraid of the spotlight. And when you're looking for trade partners and trade players to trade for, that is something you have to think about when you're the New York Yankees. You know, it's great to get the top player on the market, but how are they going to translate in New York? We saw the Sonny Gray experiment coming from Oakland with no playoff experience, no big game experience whatsoever. He did tend to struggle, but I don't think that's going to be the case with Benintendi. I think he's going to be a very good fit. Does it rule them out from getting Soto? I wouldn't fully say no, but I think that it's very slim to none. If I was a betting man, and I'm not, I would say the Padres or the Cardinals end up with Soto. They have the means, they have the reasoning, they have the logic, they have the win now mode. I think it makes sense for both of those organizations. As for the Yankees, I don't think they're quite done. I think that they're going to look at every and any option that does become available to bolster this roster. Now, before we get into those different options, let's look at this trade as a whole. Number one, Benintendi goes to the Yankees. Of course, the Yankees only acquire Benintendi in this deal. In return, the Yankees are sending three minor league pitching prospects to the Royals. TJ Sikema, Beck Way, and Chandler Champlain. Three guys who, you know, two of them rate in the Yankees' top 30 prospects. One is not, but if you do some research on them, Sikema, 2019 first-round pick. He's a guy that the Yankees project to be a number four starter once he gets to the big leagues. He's still a far ways off as well. Beck Way, another guy who, again, fits into that Yankees' strong point of their farm system, which is pitching. He is a guy that is projected to be a reliever. So, for a rental, the Yankees gave up three arms that are still quite a way away from the big league. And they get a guy who could help them win now. So, overall, I think that this is a win for them, especially given that Benintendi is getting his vaccination. He's going to not be an issue when they go to Toronto. He'll be able to play. And you know what would have happened. If he didn't get vaxxed, the Yankees would end up playing the Blue Jays in the first round of the playoffs when they have to meet. The Yankees would be going to Toronto without a very important piece of their lineup. So overall, I like the trade. I think it's a great start for Brian Cashman and the Yankees, but I do not think they're done. And what I think is going to happen is I do think that it's finally going to be time that they land Luis Castillo. Castillo has been on their radar for quite some time, and to be quite honest with you, he's a guy that I've wanted for quite some time. You know, if you look back in the past history, and let's just go back to Gerrit Cole because that's a good example. The Yankees would not give up the likes of Miguel Andujar for Gerrit Cole. And it did come back to bite him because Cole goes to Houston. Houston wins the World Series. We know the whole situation. Now, there are a lot of people that say, you know, you can't trade the top prospects. You gotta keep them. You gotta build around them. I get that to an extent. But the question and the follow-up I want to ask you is, other than Aaron Judge, over the last 20 years, how many Yankees prospects that they've drafted and brought through the system have actually panned out? To be honest with you, I can go through the list of names of different guys that definitely didn't pan out with the Yankees. Go from Phil Hughes to Jabba Chamberlain to Ian Kennedy, who ended up having a pretty solid career in the big league, just not really with the Yankees. Then you look at some offensive guys. You know, there's plenty that you could take from. Gary Sanchez being one of them. Yeah, the guy could hit, but he wasn't the catcher everybody expected him to be. Greg Bird. You know, I could go on for days and I can get sick to my stomach and make you guys sick to your stomach, but it's evident. The more they hold on to these prospects, the less of a chance they succeed. And Davey Garcia is a perfect example. I personally think the Yankees ruined him by that one inning start in the playoffs, you know. I think that really hurt his confidence, and ever since, he hasn't been the same pitcher. But that's another guy. Teams coveted him in trade talks, and the Yankees weren't willing to give him up. Now, if you're asking me, is there anybody that I think would be untouchable? Unless you're trading him for Juan Soto, I would say Volpe. Other than Volpe, I don't think anybody's untouchable at this point, including Dominguez. I think for the right player to win now, the Yankees would be dumb to covet these prospects the way they've had in the past. Yeah, prospects are cool. Parades are cooler. And we're at that point where the Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009. They've been afraid to go out at the deadline and get that big piece that they need. Go out and get Castillo. Because not only does he make your rotation better, but he sets up your playoff rotation very nicely. Right now, if you had to put together the Yankees rotation in a playoff series, obviously Gerrit Cole's got the ball in game one. Like, that's evident. Unless he gets hurt, knock on wood, you know, he would be the guy you want on the mound in that first game of the series. Question, who would be number two? Do you go with Nestor Cortes, who as of late has been better, but he had that stretch where he struggled. Jameson Taillon, another guy who started off really well and really hit a bump in the road. Luis Severino, who knows if he's going to be healthy. Where do you go in Game 2? Do you have confidence in a Game 2 starter? That's the biggest question. And right now, the Yankees, I don't think, have that number 2 starter on their roster. I really don't. But if you look at it from a bigger perspective, you can go in a 5-game series, you could go Cole in Game 1, Castillo in Game 2, Cortez in Game 3. Then you pick your poison. You want Taillon, you want Montgomery, the hot hand, whatever it happens to be. Or you go Cole on short rest, bring Castillo back for a Game 5 if the schedule pans out that way. You know, it's a lot better having a guy like Castillo in the middle of that rotation. And yes, the rotation was great at the beginning of the year. But we do know that pitchers do get fatigued, and you have to take that into consideration. Will Severino be a factor? You know, if it was up to me, Severino would come back and be in the bullpen. Yes, that would mean he'd have to trade for 2 starters, but I think that what the Yankees need and the way the bullpen's been banged up makes a lot of sense to throw Severino into a high leverage spot. I also think they'll trade for a reliever, maybe not a top name guy, but they'll make like a Clay Holmes type of move and try to rejuvenate the career of a guy who has some splits that stand out to Matt Blake and company, or a guy they think they can resurrect or something like that. But I do think that they're not done. And if Benintendi's the only move they do make, I think they're in a lot of trouble. They have to come away with the starting pitcher before the deadline passes. It's evident. And it's the time where they stop going after the Andrew Heaneys of the world and go get that stud that you need. Castillo's a smart option. You still have another year of control. It's not like he's a rental. Go get him. Do what you got to do. And make that strong push that we've seen the Astros make. The Dodgers continuously make. The Mets. We know Steve Cohen's not going to be standing by watching this. You have to join the club and remember that you're the New York Yankees. Make it happen. And that's what I'm looking for over the next couple of days. I love the Benintendi move. I think that there's other things that they can do over the next couple of days that are going to hopefully improve the roster. But I think that they still have some work to do. And I hope that that Mets series kind of opened their eyes to that. But again, time will tell, but if it was up to me, I would say the Yankees are off to a pretty good start. Before we wrap up today, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that there was a lot going on in my world and in my life, and I wanted to keep you guys in the loop. The reason I've been so inactive is because I've taken on a new role with Keeping It Heel. I am now the full site expert of the site. I am running the day-to-day operations, and boy, it's a lot, you know? It's rewarding, it's challenging, it's fun, it's a little bit of everything all in one. So if you're into North Carolina athletics, check out keepingitheel.com and you'll be able to see some of my writing and some of my great team's writing as well. We're bringing a lot of content. We hope you enjoy that. But of course, I will be here to bring you more Yankees news and updates. Don't you worry. I got you. And I love talking Yankees baseball. I especially love when you join in on the conversation. Remember, hit us up on social media. Let us know your thoughts. Do you like the Benintendi trade? Where do you think Brian Cashman goes next? You know, if you have any thoughts, we'd love to hear them. We'll share them on our next episode. Stay tuned for more as our trade deadline coverage will continue. If the Yankees make a big move, you know we'll be here to talk about it. As always, this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. As always, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon.